On today's Compassion Radio.
Just like Sandy knows all your stuff, Heidi knows all my stuff. She goes, Michael, it seems to me that you're having a really hard time trusting the Lord and embracing the sweet part of the 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. And when she told me that, I knew it was true, which just made this song impact me even more.
Welcome back, friends, to an all-new Compassion Radio. Yesterday, we began an intriguing conversation with this month's special featured artist, Michael O'Brien. We've admired his work and ministry for years, and in the previous program, we got a solid look into his life as well. If you didn't tune in yesterday, make sure to catch the podcast of that program on our website, CompassionRadio.com. The menu is located at top right. Just click the All Episodes link from there. Today, we'll continue with a fascinating discussion about the songs that made it into the Crown Hymn Project. They're all excellent and uplifting selections, and I strongly encourage you to get a copy of your own. It's exactly the kind of musical ministry our hearts need in a time like this. We'll pick it up now, right where we left off yesterday. But I want to move on to the things that God has your hand to right now. You live on a farm south of Nashville now. You know what the earth is like. It's risen up to bite you a few times while you've been trying to tame it. You know what it's like to be in touch with the earth itself, but this is a spiritual metaphor as well. You're plowing the ground, you're planting seed, you're waiting for crop to grow, and that can be an artistic metaphor as well. You think ideas, you pray on them, you write melodies. Sometimes they come together beautifully. You've done something with this music project called Crown Hymn that is unique. As far as I'm concerned, it is a worshipful album in every respect, and every song that I listen to has a worship power built into it. But it's not a worship album where it's a bunch of choruses that are newly written or just rehashing of other things. These are original artistic creations with a heart of worship. That's the best way I could describe this album. I want to go through some of the songs with you over the next few days and talk through the songs and why you did it the way you did, because some of them are traditional melodies. Many of them are reinterpretations with traditional lyrics. So tell me about the project, if you would.
Well, it has been a labor of love, and I'll be honest. Typically, when I record a project, it takes me about 3 to 4 months from beginning to end. You know, before all the songs are written, obviously, once they're written, 3 to 4 months to record, to do all the things you're supposed to do, and then get it mixed and back into my hand. And this particular project took me a year and a half, and I was truly laboring. We didn't have the resources at times, and my wife would pull me aside and go, Michael, we still have a little bit of money in savings. And I'm just like one of those guys that just wants to hold on to it. Yeah. She's like, no, this is an offering to the Lord. This is what you do, Michael. You've been doing this for, you know, 26 years. You got to keep on doing it. We've been doing this over the last 14 years on our own, and God has always supplied the money. So I would record, did the main session, and then 6 months would go by, and then she would fuss at me, and then I would, okay. So I'd go back in and I'd do the string arrangements and the same thing, just same kind of conversations going on until this past October. And at this point, I was just like at the end. I said, this had already been a year. And I'm like, honey, I just don't even know if this is even any good anymore. We went in and we listened to it together, just the basic tracks and some of the string arrangements. You know, there were some there's some songs that just didn't make it. But the songs that did make it were very thought out and prayed over, and we finished them up. And, you know, I had all my kids sing with me on this project, so everybody's in different places. One of my sons goes to Cedarville. My other son is at Liberty University. I have another son and daughter who live in Lynchburg as well. And then, of course, you have my wife here, and she doesn't want to sing on the project, and I'm trying to get her to sing a duet with me on this project. So it was just a lot of angst and uncertainty. And it just came together the middle of November, right before I had my heart ablation done. I finished this project. And then I sent it off to get it mixed, which usually takes about a month.
Yeah.
Well, my buddy Paul Mills, he does a lot of movies. He's done, you know, War Room. He orchestrates as the movie scores. Well, he's the guy that always mixes my projects. He's one of my best friends. And he's like, yeah, I'd be happy to do it, but it's going to be pushed back a little bit. Instead of a month, it ended up getting pushed back almost 4 months.
Yeah.
Long story short, Bram, I named this project Crown Hymn off of the Crown Hymn with Many Crowns song that's on the project, not knowing that the Latin word for crown is corona.
Yes, it is.
I come to find this out the week before I even release this, which is on April 1st, which is right in the middle of this coronavirus epidemic. And the timing of it was perfect because it was what God wanted. But there's another song in the project called "Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus." And I think even the music and the lyric is the same. I was learning to try to embrace the sweet part of that because at this point I was having a hard time trusting that this was even of the Lord. And now that it's out there, and I'm so truly thankful, and I'm getting a lot of encouragement. If I'm going to boast, I'm just going to boast in the Lord, because truly, He's the one who saw it from beginning to end. He used my wife to encourage me to finish this. And it really has been a blessing, and to know that all my kids are on it and my wife is on this just makes it a treasure.
Where do you want to start, Michael? Let's take a song at a time here and just have a little discussion after we play a few bars of it.
Well, let's just start with "Come Down, O Love." That was a song that was inspired for me to record by Susan Begg, Alistair's wife. So we can talk about that a little bit.
Okay.
Come down, O love divine. Seek thou this soul of mine and visit it with thine own ardor glow.
Michael, why that choice of song for this album?
This was a song that was requested by Alistair Begg's wife, Susan Begg. She has become a friend as well as Alistair over the years, and I've sung at his church a couple of times, and I was supposed to do a cruise with him this year, but obviously cruises are not real. They're not real popular right now, so they've rescheduled it for 2021. I've kept in touch with Alistair, and he's been a friend. So Susan sat down with us one morning. Heidi and I were having breakfast with them. And she looked at me and she said, "You know, Michael, you really ought to do Come Down, O Love Divine on your next project." This was probably 2 years ago. Sadly to say, I never even had heard the song and knew anything about it. But I guess everybody, they know me at all. I write with dead people who've written lyrics from the old days, because I love the rich lyrical content.
Yes.
You know, Martin Luther used to write these hymns to get into the common man because they were unable to read the Bible. And so he got his theology in them through music. So you have this lyric, and I looked it up and I listened to it. I think Fernando Ortega, who I've never met, had a version of it. And I really thought it was beautiful.
And it was.
And I decided, hey, I want to add a lot more to you. I think he just had a piano on that version. And I was just thinking it really needed the strings. And this is a funny story, but I finished the song. This was 3 months ago when we were mixing the project. We finished mixing it and I sent it over to Susan and she said, "I love it." But then she goes, "Did you sing all four stanzas?"
Ooh.
And I said, "Oh," I said, I just sang the three.
Let me guess, the one that she wanted was the next one.
Well, let's put it this way. It had already been mixed. And I said, "Oh," she goes, "I wish you had done the fourth." And so I was like, "I've got to do the fourth." So I literally drove to the studio. Somehow, miraculously, because of Pro Tools, you can, you know, I've just decided to take one of my pianos and just make it the very first verse. So when you hear it, you'll hear a broken down piano and a broken down guitar later on in the second half of the verse. That was just something I threw together. And then I went in and I sang that final verse that I forgot to sing. They remixed it. And within 2 days, it was redone. And I sent it back to her and she sent me a smiley face. So, but this song, "Come Down, O Love Divine," I think talks more about our relationship with the Holy Spirit. He's our comforter. I think that's in the third verse. He's also, O love divine. He's pointing us to Christ. So it's supposed to be a soothing lyric that draws us closer to Christ.
And why is that important to you and you think the church at a time like this?
Well, Bram, that probably is a rhetorical question, but I would say without Christ, apart from him, he says, we can do nothing of any value. My focus every morning, I couldn't always say this, but I've always told my boys just recently, like, I wish you would be like me, because every morning when I wake up 6 o'clock, I'm in the Word for an hour and a half, and then for another hour and a half, I'm with my wife talking about the Word. So it's just how we do our mornings, and that's how we start our day, being in the Word of God, because it feeds us, and it helps us to face epidemics and pandemics and all these different things that we're facing today. Without Christ, I have no comfort. We would just be floating around. Well, we would, I guess because of gravity, we wouldn't be floating, but we would just be doing things unto ourselves and not unto the Lord, and that would be just a waste.
Yeah. We'll be back for more of my conversation with Michael O'Brien in just a moment. Thank you, friends, for standing with Compassion Radio during these times of great change to our normal life. Of course, there's nothing normal about our situation, but there's also nothing normal about the kind of faith and power we find in Jesus. Compassion Radio will continue to keep bringing you encouragement from the Word, inspiring stories from the front lines of faith, and awesome opportunities to make a difference for the kingdom around the world. But we need your help right now to continue doing just that. Please take a moment today to consider how you might help us to accomplish our unique media ministry and mission. Here's how. Just visit our website, CompassionRadio.com, or call our toll-free order line, 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Reach out to us whatever way works for you. And now back to our discussion.
Well, I do think that in free fall, you're floating until gravity is meant to hold us down, but it's also our enemy if we're not exercising the kind of restraint or the buoyancy that the Spirit can give us. But you mentioned being grounded in the Word, how it has an effect on how we face epidemics and pandemics.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting thought, of course, but I would like to challenge you on this one and ask you for a little deeper look at it.
Okay.
Does anything change? If you and I are facing the fear and anxiety within our families, within our churches, within our own communities, and the chances of us actually contracting this virus go up drastically if we actually step out of our homes and go do something that we would consider essential, like getting gas for the car or food for the table, things that we have to do, and we go about that prayerfully. Just because we spend time in the Word or spend time in prayer, does it really change what happens in the world if we do that first?
I would say yes. And let me give you the reason why. It gives you perspective on the providence of God. I think it's question 27. What do you understand by the providence of God? I think something about God's providence is his mighty and ever-present power, whereby with his hand he still upholds heaven and earth and all creatures and so governs them that nothing can happen to us. Not by chance, but by his fatherly hand. So to me, if I have that thought and know about God's providence, his sovereignty, there is nothing that comes across my table, even death itself, that can separate me from the love of God. And the way I look at that, then I don't walk around in fear. It doesn't mean I just throw caution to the wind and I don't wear a mask when I'm supposed to. And you want to listen to your authorities and do all those things, but we know that our lives are in God's hands. Then we don't walk around in fear. Even death is not going to hinder us from facing these things that we face. I think that the Word of God feeds the soul, brings comfort. I also think it shows us that we're going to suffer. And that's the other thing. If I have a really good view, knowing that when I become a Christian, that doesn't mean suffering stops. Mm-hmm. It probably will increase. And in how then do I act? Do I act like Job, who says, blessed be the name of the Lord, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away? I can tell you right now, that's exactly what I did 2 months ago when in 4 days, I had 3 months of dates that were on my calendar mm-hmm. taken away.
Yeah,
I could shake my fist at God and say, hey, what are you doing? Or do I respond, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away, blessed be the name of the Lord? Do I not only receive only good from the Lord and not bad? So it gives us perspective. It gives us all that we need to live a life that is pleasing to the Lord. And so I guess my pushback would just be, yes, I do think it can comfort the soul in the midst of trials and tribulations, but it can also draw us to our knees to worship God in the midst of it all.
And that itself is more than reward. It's what we're called to be and do. I think about that scripture a different way right now. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Usually people refer to that as kind of a hope statement. All these things may come at me, but at the end, I'm not going to be lost or left behind. He will remember me, is the way it's usually felt and read. But the idea of being separated from the love of God is a visceral, in-the-now kind of thing. Wondering where he is, where is God when I'm hurting? The fear of aloneness, of being alone, of isolation. So the idea of being close to him and drawn to him, there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, is for right this minute. We're supposed to be experiencing that, and without that time in the Word or in his presence through worship and prayer, corporately or individually, we will be absent from that, and we will feel like God is absent from us, even if it's a lie. Our feelings will then guide us in ways that are not productive for the kingdom. But I do believe, too, that that kind of prayer life you're talking about, Michael, is something that will attune us to the right timing for things. If we're listening to the Spirit of God and say, yes, it's time to go take care of those things, and we know that God has led us that way, we have far less apprehension about where we're going or where we might run into the virus out there in the world or where we might run into dangers of all kinds, because we sense that his Spirit is already leading us and guiding us and not just talking back to us after the fact. I appreciate very much what you said, Michael, about that issue.
Well, I think it's just, I hate to say trial and error, but I certainly haven't arrived, but I think I'm just learning. Aren't we always just growing and learning? That's what Peter and Paul talk about in the in the letters, just that we're increasing in our faith and God is working these things out. One of the scriptures that I've heard misquoted for many years has been the one that says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yeah. A lot of people use that as well, but they don't look at the context of what Paul was talking about. It's about living with little or living with much. Yeah. Either way, I've learned to be content because I can live, I can do all these things, living with much or living with little through Christ who strengthens me. So, but you know, we get these little, hate to say it, but there's nothing cliche about the word of God, but we get these little cliches and wanted to say, hey, this is my favorite verse, but we really don't know what it really means.
Yeah. And certainly don't know what it could mean if we actually paid attention to it.
Yeah, exactly.
And in some ways, I need to remind our listeners today that we're trying to exercise that kind of living with little and living with much expectation that God will provide, because both Michael and Compassion Radio are ministries. And we are people that serve the body of Christ through what we do. You're a communicator through the arts. I'm a communicator through spoken word predominantly. But we are here to help build up the body of Christ. And you lost a lot of dates out there for your concert ministry, and you're trusting God to take care of you. I made the investment to buy as many CDs as I possibly could afford to buy this month in order to provide
which
them for.
Right?
And unfortunately, this month is about the most I can do. I hope it's the least eventually, and that will be many other ways that we'll have a chance to bless each other's ministries and see God abundantly provide in all kinds of ways. But we made the choice to go ahead and buy 100 or so of your CDs right away so that those who want to support our ministry can be supporting both of us. That was my decision. We are not in this business because it is just a job. Neither you or I felt called to do this thing because there was a great promise of riches in this. We did it because we could not do it. And as any good writer says, they can't not write. You know, if they're an author and that's what they're called to do, they're going to keep scribbling on the back of envelopes or on a wall if necessary, because those things must come out.
Right.
And for us, we are conduits. We both know ourselves to be people that have surrendered our lips and our bodies and our lives to the cause of Christ for whatever he wants to do with it. My calling right now is to be here reminding people of their better angels and remember that compassion is at the heart of Christ. Let's act like him and see him show up. And you bring the beauty of the love of Christ in the midst by the way you sing, by the way you write. And I'm glad that we get to bring those two things together on behalf of our Compassion Radio audience over the next couple of months.
Well, I'm very appreciative of it. And I know that ministries like yourself and some of these other ones that have teamed up with us is just a great way to partner and hopefully, like you said, minister not only to the people that are listening, but you know, God has a way of giving. Some people think, hey, you give $100, God's going to give me $200. It's not typically always in money. Matter of fact, it's in many different ways. Yeah. And hopefully this will be a blessing to you guys as well.
And I'm not afraid to ask for God's big returns. If someone really fears not having $200 next week and they decide that God's still telling them to give $100 this week, I'm going to pray with them that God's going to honor their prayer, but not the fear.
Sure.
I don't believe that God really does honor fear or bows to our fear. He calls us out of it, and he wants to put perfect love in the middle of it and say, that will cast out the fear, and then we can get down to business. And you and I both want to be about the business of God's kingdom, and we're not going to sit around and just cow to fear or worship it. We're going to take it to Jesus. And you've already talked about the anxiety that comes with being in the creative process and running out of steam, and then discovering that it has to be God's steam because it's a God project in all along, and letting him carry it to the final measure as a gift of offering to God again, but also to your friends. You're making an offering to the church at large, the kingdom of God, to say, this is all I have. I can encourage you with my music. Would you accept it? And that is a humble thing to do as an artist, because your ego could be pricked if someone doesn't like your music. But again, you have to remind yourself, it's not about my ego. I couldn't not do this. God said to do it, so I must do it no matter what other people say.
Right.
But by the way, people are saying beautiful things about this project. So even if you get some naysayers, Michael, please remember that most of us out there are deeply moved by the quality of this project, and it's so worshipful. I really hope everyone will buy us out quickly and use this album to give them great encouragement and strength and calm at a time of crisis.
Amen.
What's the next song you'd like to highlight for us?
Let's do 'Tis So Sweet.
Michael, that's a song that's almost lullaby-ish in that its comfort and its accessibility. We sing it as children, and I remember singing that in Daily Vacation Bible School when I was 5 or 6 years old, and then singing it in sing-alongs and Sunday night at church. That's my generation, like yours. It's a powerful song, but something I want to bring to your attention that really moved me about that lyric for the first time in a long time. The lyric says, "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus." It doesn't say, "'Tis so sweet it is to see what God did with my trust." In the waiting, before we even know how God's going to answer the prayer, before we even know what's going to come of the struggle that we're in, before we can even say, it's done with, it's over, we survived, before all of that, when things are the roughest, is when this song says, it is sweet to trust in Jesus. How is it impacting your life this year?
Well, I think I told you a little bit just how, you know, trusting Jesus in the midst of storms and trials. The lady who wrote this song, the lyrical content of this, is a lady by the name of Louisa Stead. The story behind it is she and her husband and her boy went to a park in New York. There was a young boy out in the water, and he was drowning. Mm. Louisa's husband ran out to save the boy, and they both end up perishing. Shortly after that, she penned this song. I don't know. The story moved me so much. It was also a song that my wife had requested. But to be honest with you, sometimes when I do songs, I'm not even thinking about the lyrical content when I'm doing the musical aspect of it. So I had created this little piece and, you know, put the strings in it and everything. And then I realized all this stuff was attached to this song. Mm-hmm. And my wife said, Michael, She lives with me, by the way. Just like Sandy knows all your stuff, Heidi knows all my stuff. She goes, Michael, it seems to me that you're having a really hard time trusting the Lord and embracing the sweet part of the 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. And when she told me that, I knew it was true, which just made this song impact me even more.
Our thanks again to Michael O'Brien, our featured artist this month. There are many more great stories about the songs, the artistic process, and the inside scoop on how major music projects come to be. It's all fascinating, and I hope you'll tune in then. If God has enabled you to support His kingdom purposes, please give generously where you hear God's word preached, celebrated, and lived. We need you, and we thank you for everything that you do and every prayer you offer on our behalf. When you call or write us today with your tax-free gift, make sure to ask for Michael O'Brien's brand new music project, Crown Him, available on CD or for digital download. Our toll-free number is 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And you can find us 24/7 at our website, CompassionRadio.com. We'll see you tomorrow.